You're listening to Amazing Discoveries Audio. This is Heal Your Body, Mind, and Spirit with Barbara O'Neill. Episode 9, Why Can't I Sleep?
So many people can't sleep today. It's a huge problem. Why? Why can't people sleep? What's the problem? Now, as usual, and as you've probably seen as we're going through these presentations, it's often not one thing. Often it can be a whole lot of things. And one of my favorite proverbs, Proverbs 14 verse 6, says, "Knowledge is easy to him that understands." So before we make a list of how you can boost sleep, and before we have a look at how you can make conditions conducive for sleep, and before we discover what you've got to stop because it's going to stop sleep, I first of all want to have a look at what happens when we sleep. A few things are happening when we sleep. There's a little tiny gland in the base of our brain called the pineal gland. And the pineal gland releases 4 hormones every night, usually between the hours of, well, it's summer here in the US, so it's daylight saving, so it's between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. In the winter, it will be between 9 p.m. and 2 a.m. The body doesn't know about daylight saving. One of these hormones that the pineal gland releases in those times, one is serotonin, and serotonin is your mood hormone. So if you want to feel good, go to bed early. If you want happy kids, put them to bed early. It might need that you'll have to have blinds on the windows. Just try this. Have the main meal at lunch and breakfast. Have a very light supper, hot bath, soft lights, nice soft classical music, a story all about falling asleep, and that's an easy way to get the children to sleep. And of course, once they're to sleep early, mum and dad have got a couple of hours before they sleep, which is also important. Another hormone is melatonin. Melatonin is called the fix and rejuvenate nighttime hormone. And it's also released in these hours, and it is responsible for balancing the body and also repair that's happening in the body. The third one is arginine vasopressin. And arginine vasopressin is a hormone that puts you in a deep sleep. So you've got a natural painkiller. Isn't that good to know? But for your natural painkiller to work, you must be asleep in these hours. And as your natural painkiller is used, it gives off a waste. And this waste hangs about in the body unless you exercise. So we're going to make, we'll start early with our boosts, our sleep boosters. And as we go through the illustrations I'm giving you, we'll add to our sleep boosters. Exercise. There's a proverb in Ecclesiastes that says, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet." What's a laboring man? That's someone who's working physically hard. You might not have a physically hard job, but you can exercise. And the exercise that is the most powerful at boosting sleep is your high-intensity interval training. Now, this exercise is also the best exercise to create a little perspiration. And when we sweat or perspire with exercise, which we do with the high intensity, really, we release the waste that is built up from using our natural painkiller, arginine vasopressin. So the next night when we lay down to sleep, we've got a fresh dose of arginine vasopressin. Arginine vasitocin is not only our natural painkiller, but it puts us into a deep sleep. Epithalamin is a hormone that's released in these hours, and epithalamin increases learning capacity. And I think everyone wants to increase their learning capacity. And I talk to the teachers, I say, can you tell the children that had late nights? They said, oh yes. They don't seem to be able to catch it. They don't seem to be able to retain. I said, oh, they're lacking their epithalamin. And I believe we never should stop learning. We should be learning new things right up until the day we die. So to be able to learn new things right up until the day we die, we need to be going to bed early to ensure that we're getting proper amounts of epithalamin. Epithalamin not only increases learning capacity, epithalamin slows down aging. And everyone over the age of 25 likes that one. In fact, they have found, especially in people who are in professions where they don't get a lot of sleep, let's say rock singers. You know, they're not going to sleep till 2 or 3 in the morning. They age very, very quickly. They also have done studies that have shown that late nights, regular late nights, can have a similar effect on the body to even drug addiction and alcoholism, which we both know are damaging to the body. So the pineal gland will release those hormones every night, but we have to be asleep. We have to be asleep for those hormones to be released. And there are some things that can stop the release of those hormones. Stress, that's probably not a surprise to you that stress can stop it. And lights, if the lights are on. You see, light and dark signals are fed through the optic nerve to a control center where it communicates with the pineal gland. And that's why when the sun goes down, our brain and our eyes know it, because it's those light and dark signals that are communicating with the body clock center of the brain that communicates with the pineal gland. So it's those light and dark signals. It's also the tides that also influence this happening in the body, which is why it happens in those hours. So it's important to sleep in the dark. It's important that if you have a night light, it just be a very dull light in the corner. My daughter always used to put a Himalayan salt lamp in the hallways for her little ones, so that if they woke up in the night, there was a soft glow coming from the hall and they could find their way to the bathroom. So that soft light will not interfere with it. Moonlight will not interfere with it. But it's the bright lights that interfere with it. And I think this is having a contributing factor why people aren't sleeping well. Because since the electric lights, you know, the house is lit up at night. And it's not that we don't have any light at night, but go for your soft light. Go for your soft lights at night. It was probably in about the early 50s, maybe late 40s, scientists were doing experiments on rats to know more about sleep. And what they found that there were periods of night where the rats' eyes were moving fast, and there are periods of the night where the rats' eyes were still. And they had microbes connected to the brain, and this is how they worked out that when the eyes were moving rapidly, the brain was moving. But when the eyes were still, the brain was still. And what they discovered, as they looked at this, they discovered what exactly was happening in the brain. They called the still time non-rapid eye movement time, and they called the busy time rapid eye movement time. And what they discovered was that in non-rapid eye movement time, there was a courier service. So what do I mean by a courier service? Well, all through the day, everything that happens to us through the day is stored in our short-term memory storage unit, which is the hippocampus at the back here. And while we're sleeping in non-rapid eye movement time, there's a courier service that is taking that short-term memory unit memories up to the long-term memory unit, which is in the cortex at the top. So that's the courier service, moving the day's memories up to the long-term storage unit. What's also happening in rapid eye movement time is a cleaning system. Now, this cleaning system is called the glymphatic system. And the glymphatic system is made up of glial cells. And there are more glial cells in the brain than brain cells. And we've got 1 trillion brain cells. So what's the glymphatic system cleaning up while we sleep? Waste from neuronal activity, waste from the combustion of oxygen and glucose at the cellular level. So there's a fair bit of waste with the running of the brain. In rapid eye movement time, we've got a filing system. So in the filing system, this is where the brain files all the memories that came in through the day. Dr. Matthew Walker, in his book Why We Sleep, he explains it in detail. He's got a lot of research up his sleeve, this neurologist. He's an atheist, but he says, regarding this filing system, he says it's almost as if the brain has an intelligence. It certainly does, because there's a creator God that put these systems in the body. What also is happening in rapid eye movement time is dreaming. There's been many theories on dreams, isn't there? I know when I studied psychiatric nursing, there's all sorts of theories that come in about dreaming. But Dr. Matthew Walker, he states that what they found is that dreaming's important for the brain to know how to file. So with dreaming, you might be gathering things from long ago, a year ago, what happened 2 weeks ago, what happened this morning. All of these things come together in a fairly jumbled way. I think you'll agree with me. Some of my dreams can be quite crazy. And they all come in a certain way to be able to file. And what they also found, that it's almost like quite an orderly system on how everything is filed. And if something happens to us through the day and we did not like it, maybe it had upset us, then it's actually put in a negative file. And if something wonderful happened through the day, maybe you met friends and you had a beautiful meal together, that's a very pleasant experience, that can be put in a positive section. What's also happening in rapid eye movement time is there's a consolidation of the things we learnt through the day. A consolidation or a confirming of the things that came in. That's happening while we sleep. This is also invention time. I don't know about you, but my best inventions, my best ideas come early in the morning. The mind is fresh, it's been cleaned up, it's ready to go. What Dr. Matthew Walker found and the research he looked at and his scientists, that this happens in 90-minute cycles. What he also found was it's not negotiable. We should be having 8 hours every night. We're going to have a look at what happens in those 8 hours. 8 hours sleep every night. And I'm going to show you why it should be 8 hours, and I'm also going to show you where it should be, especially considering what we've looked at here. So your 8 hours could be 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. It could be 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. It could be, at a stretch, 10 to 6 a.m. There's your 8 hours. So let's start with, we're going to do 9 to 5 here. That's probably one of my favourites, 9 to 5. So we're going to start at 9 p.m. This is the first 90-minute cycle to 10:30. So from 9 to 10:30, the non-rapid eye movement is the most active. There's your rapid eye movement. So at this time of night, it's about 80% non-rapid eye movement and 10% rapid eye movement. From 10:30 to midnight, you've got 60 non-rapid eye movement, 40 rapid eye movement. From 12 to 1:30 a.m., you've got about a 50-50. So there's your 50 non-rapid eye movement, 50 rapid eye movement time. Can you see what's happening? Little by little it's turning. So from 1:30 to 3 a.m., now we've got 40% non-rapid eye movement time and 60% rapid eye movement time. And from 3 to 5, your last 2 hours, you've got 20% rapid eye movement and 80%. 20% non-rapid eye movement, 80% rapid eye movement from 3 to 5. And I think you'll agree with me, if you wake up at this time of night, say anywhere between 2, 3, 4, you usually remember your dreams. You wake up at midnight, you don't usually remember your dreams because it's actually not happening at that time. So can you see the importance of sleeping in these hours? Because when you sleep in these hours, all of these systems that are absolutely vital for the proper functioning of the human body, not only the proper functioning but the healing of the human body, but the incredible effect that it has on the mind. Dr. Matthew Walker, he showed that people with Alzheimer's, amyloid plaques, if every case of Alzheimer's, they found amyloid plaques building up in the front part of the brain. That's where your reason, intellect, judgment is. But he also showed that if you're going to bed early, your glymphatic system, your cleaning system, helps to prevent the build-up of amyloid plaques. And he quotes two very famous people who boasted of only 5 hours sleep a night, who spent their last 15, 20 years with severe Alzheimer's. And one is Margaret Thatcher, Britain's Prime Minister, and also Ronald Reagan, who was one of the US presidents. They boasted of 5 hours sleep a night. And of course, that 5 hours sleep doesn't usually start at 8 o'clock, does it? That 5 hours sleep is usually starting at 1 or 2 in the morning. I am not saying, and I don't think Dr. Matthew Walker is saying, that it is the only contributing factor. There can be several contributing factors, but I don't know about you, but I don't want to get Alzheimer's, so I'm very happy to do such a small thing, which is go to bed early. He also tells the story of the man who put together the periodic table. There are last couple of little equations, he just couldn't get it. So he decided to sleep on it. We never say wake on it, do we? We also always say sleep on it. And when he woke up in the morning, it was there, he had it. Also, he gives a story of a famous pianist who just could not get this little bit. He practiced and practiced and he decided to just leave it, have a big sleep, got up in the morning and he just played it beautifully. So it intrigues me how that happens. And after reading Dr. Matthew Walker's book, where in detail he goes through these things, I now understand. Knowledge is easy to him that understands. So when you understand how these processes, the pineal gland with its secretions, which also plays a role in what the non-rapid eye movement and rapid eye movement times are doing in the night, you now have the knowledge on how to give the mind and the body everything that is conducive for a good night's sleep. So your sleep boosters, yes, not only your high intensity interval training, not only does that high intensity increase blood supply to the pineal gland, but it also boosts the body with all it needs to be able to cleanse you at night. Remember, that's your blood mover. So another booster is sleeping in the dark. Make sure the lights are turned off. Now that brings us to something else that's not an electric light. What's that? That's your technology. The light coming from the sunlight is blue light. And when we allow our eyes to have sunlight through the day, I never suggest you look at the sun, but just being outside, the ultraviolet rays come through neurochemical pathways into the pineal gland, and they help to reset that body clock. In fact, Dr. Neil Nedley, in his book, Depression, A Way Out, he found that 80% of his patients that had depression, their circadian rhythm is out. Your circadian rhythm is the rhythm that is set by your suprachiasmatic enzyme, which is your body clock, which communicates with your pineal gland. And he found that 1 hour of light, the first hour of light, he found that the first hour of light in the day, that morning light resets your circadian rhythm. So not only do we need to sleep in the dark, our eyes need sunshine in the day, especially that early morning. That first hour of light in the day resets the circadian rhythm. I have also found that some ladies, when they go through menopause, their circadian rhythm seems to be thrown out by the change in hormones, and they can reset that by the first hour of light in the day. So that's a great time to do your morning exercise. The only time you're going to be able to get up to do that morning exercise and catch the early morning light is if you go to bed early. So we have to put here early nights. So make sure the kids are in bed by 7, 7.30. Their mum and dad have got a couple of hours by themselves, and yet they can still get to bed by 9, 9.30. And then everyone wakes up in a happy household because they've all got their serotonin while they sleep. Let's go back to sleeping in the dark. It is estimated that 80% of Americans sleep with their phones. That's a little scary, isn't it? And the pillow is no protection against that electromagnetic field. We should be sleeping in an electromagnetic free zone. That's where we should be sleeping. So we're going to make a side issue here called the bedroom. Okay, let's have a look at the bedroom. To have a room that is conducive for sleep, we need to be having, yes, fresh air. So please sleep with your window open. To get fresh air, it is important that that screen is clean. Have you ever wiped your fly screen with a white wet cloth? Have a look at the colour. Those screens catch dust. And that fly screen ideally should be washed once a month. Fresh air is also dependent on a pillow that is not old or moldy, so check your pillow. Every pillow should have a pillow protector on it. It's much easier to wash the pillowcase and the pillow protector if you've had a very sweaty night than to wash the pillow. Have you noticed when you buy a pillow today, it's got a date on it? I think it's 2 years. Every 2 years you should buy a new pillow because we lose a lot of moisture in the night. And that also explains why I suggest pulling those blankets back for the first hour in the day. Make your bed after breakfast when the bedding has had an air. Allow the moisture that came out of your body in the night to evaporate. So all this is contributing to fresh air. Also, an electromagnetic free field, free zone. That's what the bedroom should be. No technology in the bedroom. Charge it out in the other rooms. My brother-in-law, he gathers everyone's technology of an evening and he charges it in his office overnight. It's a good idea. But what if you're on call? What if you need that phone for an alarm clock? We are the only creature that wakes up to an alarm clock. I don't wake up to an alarm clock. I go to bed early. And it's easy to sleep because I don't have a stomach full of food. It's easy to sleep because I'm well hydrated. I have my windows wide open. And when 8 hours is up, I just wake up. You will wake up when your body's ready to make up. All the courier, the cleaning, the filing, the dreaming, the consolidation of what you've learnt through the day, any inventions, it's all happened. It's time to wake up. These hormones have all been released and you're ready to wake up. And you will wake up. If you've got electromagnetic devices, electromagnetic field devices in your bedroom, it interferes with the frequency that your body uses to sleep. It also interferes with the frequency that your body runs at when you're awake. It interferes with it. So if you do need the phone for an alarm, because maybe you will at first until your body gets used to waking early, put it in the hallway. You'll still wake up if it's in the hallway, but you'll have a much more restful sleep if you can put it out of the bedroom. Natural fiber in your bedroom. Natural fiber in the bedding. Natural fiber breathes, which contributes to you getting fresh air. So have a look around. Look around for the cotton blankets. I don't know whether you have woolen blankets here. We have woolen blankets in Australia. Your feather quilts. You might have a polyester quilt, and I think you can get away with that as long as you've got a thick cotton covering over it. So look for the cotton. If it's all a bit expensive, just visit your thrift store. Sometimes you can get some nice cotton natural fiber blankets there. Search around, but look for your natural fiber in your bedding. That makes a big difference. Also, your bedroom must be dusted. Dusted, cleaned. Because when you've got a build-up of dust in your bedroom, when you've got clutter in your bedroom, it's almost impossible to clean it. So if you've got bookcases, have them in another room because they certainly can gather dust. Have as little furniture as possible in your bedroom. If you've got a walk-in wardrobe and it's just totally cluttered, it's time to pull everything out, put it in a pile on the floor, pick it up, and if you love it, keep it. If you're not that fussed, it goes. Just get rid of it. Start shedding. Start decluttering your life, because a cluttered house, it'll cause a cluttered mind, and it sometimes can be the result of the cluttered mind. And it's a little bit what came first, the clutter house or the cluttered mind. Sometimes people keep things they might use it one day, or it's really good. No, just someone else will love it. So someone else can use it. So it's very difficult to get fresh air in a bedroom when it's cluttered, because there will be a lot of dust on it. So it should be cleaned, ideally vacuumed even twice a week. All this adds to fresh air, which means you will sleep much better. Getting back to sleeping in the dark, it's got a lot to do with electromagnetic free zone. If you've got technology in your room, you're going to have lights in your room. So you're not going to have the full dark room. What can you do if you can't sleep? Well, there are two things that will totally stop sleep. One is getting annoyed with the fact that you can't sleep. You will never sleep if you do that. So what can you do? We'll put it under sleep boosters. What can you do to enhance sleep? Be thankful. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you can't sleep, be thankful. What else can you do? Be thankful. And if you can't think of anything to be thankful for, thank God that you're not in a concentration camp. Thank God that you're in a comfortable bed. Thank God that you've got eyes that see and legs that work. Just list all the things that you'd be thankful. Thankful for your family. You haven't got a very good family. Well, thankful for your church family. Well, thank him. Thank him for every single thing that you have. And often, as you're thankful, it changes the way that you see it. And you can get a bigger, better attitude, and you'll often fall asleep. The other thing that will stop sleep is technology. If you can't sleep and you have a look at your phone, that phone, in fact the phone and the computer and the iPad, they all have a blue light. And that blue light has a different frequency to the sunlight. But that blue light tells your brain through your eyes, so the blue light's going through your eyes to your brain, daytime, wake up. It's almost impossible to go to sleep once your eyes have been on that technology because the message that it just gave to the brain. So that's why sleeping in the dark has to include an electromagnetic free zone. So that's no lights, not even the tiny lights. The only light that is allowed, and ideally in the hallway, is the very soft light. The Himalayan lamp light, that's a very nice one. And the Himalayan salt lamp, that gives off negative ions. And negative ions help to purify the air. So that's another good thing to do. To boost exercise, we need not only exercise in the day, to sleep in the dark, to have sunshine in the day. Remember, that resets the circadian rhythm. Going to bed early so you're accessing your non-rapid eye movement and your rapid eye movement time. And being thankful as you fall asleep, be very thankful. Thank God for all the wonderful things in your life. But also, nutrition. It's important to be eating, and we've looked at this a few times, high fiber, generous proteins, and your healthy fats. What this diet does is it gives everything to your body that it needs to be able to run effectively and sleep well. Because there's a whole lot of things happening while you sleep. And they need nutrition to be able to function while you're sleeping. And your healthy fats. Your nuts, your seeds. Your nuts and your seeds and your olive and your coconut oils. The oils are concentrated. You don't need very much, just a little bit. But a little bit certainly makes dishes taste nice. What also is important is no supper. When your stomach sleeps, when your body sleeps, your stomach wants to sleep. If you go to bed with a large meal in your stomach, your stomach can't stop digesting, because if it stops digesting, then the food starts to ferment and rot, and the fumes could actually kill you. That's called ptomaine poisoning. So when you go to bed, if you go to bed at night with a large meal in your stomach, that stomach has to keep working, and that can certainly interfere with a peaceful sleep. Also, be careful, be mindful of the hour before you go to bed. Of the last hour. If you're watching horror movie or something wild on television and you turn it off, it's almost impossible to just instantly calm down. If you're answering emails just before you go to bed and that light's been there, it's very hard for you to calm down. After reading Dr. Matthew's book on why we sleep, I changed the times that I do emails. I used to always answer emails of an evening because in the afternoon I wanted to garden. I had a whole lot of things to do. But after reading his book and looking at the effect of what that technology has on our eyes and thus our brain, I now do my emails in the afternoon. In fact, when that sun has gone down, that's when I close. When I close my iPad, that's when I stop answering the emails. Because answering the emails of an evening is giving messages to your brain, which is preventing your brain and your body as a whole starting to wind down. A lot of bodies are wearing out because they're not getting the restorative and regenerating effects of proper sleep. And this is one of the reasons so many people are suffering from insomnia. Sometimes when people implement all of this, they still can't sleep. So I've got some good news. You can rewire your brain. How do you rewire your brain? You actually are very thankful that you now know what to do, and you're very patient. So this isn't, so not only being thankful, but being patient. Remember, Rome wasn't built in a day. And if you've been going to bed at midnight for the last 10 years, you're not going to be able to suddenly just go to sleep. But you can start getting your body into the habit of winding down. When the sun goes down, that's when you start winding down. You might watch something on the television. The television is not quite as bad as the short-range screens. But have it way back and try and have it off an hour before you're about to go to bed. What can also boost sleep? So we're going over here now. What can also boost sleep is a hot shower just before bed or a hot bath. Or a hot bath. And if you have a hot bath, in that hot bath, you can put Epsom salts. Epsom salts is magnesium sulfate, and magnesium relaxes the muscles. So that's a lovely relaxant. And in the hot bath, you can put some lavender essential oil, or if you're growing lavender, you can throw half a dozen sticks of lavender into your bath. And what lavender does, that's also a calming herb. So this is what you can do to boost sleep. It's very similar to actually what we've looked at in those eight laws of health, isn't it? Something else that we haven't done is a stop. So what have we got to stop? And it's probably not a surprise to you to know that caffeine is one of the biggest sleep disruptors. And some people take alcohol before they go to bed to put them to sleep. It might put you to sleep, but you'll be waking with half-charged batteries. Because what alcohol does, it inhibits the release of those hormones. And what caffeine does is it inhibits the release of those hormones. Because what caffeine does is it stimulates a crisis response. And when a crisis response is stimulated in your body, it's all systems go. So in the afternoon, evening, we should be winding down. But if coffee or tea is taken, all systems are revved up to go. So the caffeine and the alcohol must stop. Refined sugar has a stimulating effect on the body. Another food that has a stimulating effect on the body is meat. And how many people have a steak with a bit of red wine and a sugary dessert and a cup of coffee after their meal? No wonder they can't sleep. They don't realize it, that they're doing everything to wake the body up, to stimulate the body. It's time to wind the body down. I was reading an interview of a 116-year-old man, and they asked him what were his secrets of long life. He said, "I rise with the sun and I go down with the sun." It was easy to do way back then because there weren't many electric lights and there definitely was no technology. But once this is understood, steps can be made to check that we have everything that is conducive to sleep. So we'll also put, here's another sleep booster, is soft music. Soft music certainly helps, and we're going to put one in here. There's a little bit of a gap here. Hydration. It's important to be well hydrated so that you sleep well. In fact, one great way to put yourself to sleep is have a couple of crystals of Celtic salt and half a glass of water. 15 minutes before you go to sleep, have the other half glass of water just as you get into bed. And that 3 crystals of Celtic salt, or 2 crystals, if you're not used to it, it has 3 magnesiums in it. And magnesium is a muscle relaxant, relaxes the heart, relaxes every muscle in your body. So now we're going to have a look at what you can do if you cannot sleep. Absolutely, all the sleep boosters have to be looked at, and absolutely, the bedroom needs to be addressed. But there are some things that you can take. So here are some remedies, some natural remedies to help sleep. Magnesium. I have had several people say to me that they take magnesium at night, say 500 milligrams, and magnesium citrate is the most absorbable form of magnesium. So that can be taken of an evening. Also, some people have found the herb valerian has helped them to sleep. Valerian is a mild tranquilizer, a mild sedative. It's probably the strongest, and we have a mix that it's a glycerin tincture mix that we mix together, and it has passion flower. Passion flower is also a tranquilizer, mild sedative, not as strong as valerian. Also skullcap. Skull cap's about equal with passion flower. And the very famous nerve nourisher, St. John's wort. And as a nerve nourisher, it has a mild tranquilizing effect too. So at Misty Mountain Health Retreat, we make up a glycerin tincture of equal parts St. John's wort, skull cap, passion flower, and valerian. And that can be taken, usually a teaspoon of that in a little bit of water before bed. And some of our guests that have a lot of trouble sleeping, we'll give them another dose to take in case they wake up in the middle of the night. But we have found if they can take the attitude of gratitude when they wake up and be very thankful and do not look at their phone, put it out of reach, out of the bedroom, and lie there and think about everything in their life that they can be thankful for, they can be little by little get their body back into the habit of sleeping. So the hydration's important. The condition of the bedroom is very important. Implementing all of these tips to help with sleep is vital. And we've seen many people once again resume the ability to sleep. Something that I have found has helped quite a few women is taking the Anna's Wild Yam Cream. The Anna's Wild Yam Cream is the cream that boosts progesterone. And progesterone is your relaxing, calming hormone. If a woman's been on the pill for a few years, even if it was 30 years ago, that pill causes a rise in estrogen, which displaces progesterone. This also explains what's happening in the menopausal women. They've got a displacement of their progesterone. So if they can go on the Anna's Yam cream, which will boost progesterone, and remember progesterone, that's your happy hormone. Progesterone helps induce sleep. And I've had some ladies say to me that since they've been on the Anna's Yam cream, they've certainly been able to sleep a little bit better. Sleeping is vital. We cannot function without it. What Dr. Matthew Walker showed, he had some fairly confronting figures there. He showed that 10 nights of 6 hours sleep a night, 50% less cognitive performance and 50% less physical performance out of the body. He also explained how if you have 4 hours sleep a night, you know it, you do not feel good at all. But if you have 6 hours sleep, you almost feel okay. So the scary thing about 6 hours sleep is the person doesn't even realize they've lost their edge. He also shows how that there are more accidents on the road to sleep deprivation than alcohol. Doesn't mean that alcohol's okay, but he said more accidents happen with sleep deprivation because with alcohol, the person's drunk and they see some red lights, at least they make an attempt to stop. Or there's a corner, they make an attempt to turn the corner and it's often not very good and maybe an accident happens out of it. But he said with sleep deprivation, the person just falls asleep. So there's actually, they're not even able to try and slow down. They're not even able to try and turn the corner. And as he points out, there seems to be a lot of media attention on don't drink and drive, you know, and certainly there's fines for drink driving, but not a lot about sleeping, sleep deprivation and driving. You're far better if you're feeling tired to pull off on the side of the road, put the seat down and just even have a 10-15 minute booster. I find myself, all I have to do is fall asleep and then when I wake up, I find that I'm a lot better. If I'm feeling a little bit sleepy, I can jump out on the side of the road, well, off the road a little bit, and do even 30 push-ups. And also have your water by you, have your salt by you. Dr. Matthew Walker, they also did another experiment. They had 20 students, and 10 students had 6 hours sleep a night, and the other 10 students had 8 hours sleep a night. All learnt the same thing. And it was new information that they did not know previous. They were tested 3 months later and they found that the students that had the 8 hours sleep a night, they retained almost 50% more compared to the students that had 6 hours sleep a night. And what he shows is that when you're missing out, I've rubbed off the rapid eye movement time, remember it's getting to the early hours of the morning, that's the consolidation, that's the confirming of the things that you have learnt through the day, even learnt over the last few days. So when you learn new things and you have a full 8 hours sleep a night, it allows your brain to confirm or consolidate those things that you've learnt through the day. In fact, I think it was in Oxford, he's an English neurologist, they asked him to do a paper on sleep for the students. And he talked about these things. He talked about going to bed early. He talked about a fresh air in the bedroom. He talked about hydration. He talked about if you need to study, go to bed at 8, get up at 4. You've got 2 hours peak study time right there. And if you're feeling a little sleepy, have the rebounder by you and jump on the rebounder just for a minute every hour and that will spark it up or even an exercise bike and drink that water, how much do you retain when you're falling asleep at midnight compared to how much you retain early in the morning when your brain has already had its reviving and its regeneration in the 8 hours sleep? I trust you've been inspired, and I trust you've been encouraged, and I trust you've been busily making notes and looking at what you can do to get more out of your life by sleeping.
If this episode impacted you, please share it with others. Amazing Discoveries is a donor-supported ministry. To help us keep producing content like this, visit amazingdiscoveries.org. And, as always, you can find the visual presentation of this episode on adtv.watch.